We're doing Igeret Teiman, and what we saw last week, we introduced the Igeret, and we saw the Rambam's writing to the people in Yemen who are being persecuted, and there's been a decree that they have to leave the faith or get killed. And the Rambam is telling them that throughout our history, we've had enemies trying to dissuade us from fulfilling the Torah. And he says that our sages taught us that the mountain of Sinai is called Sinai from the word sin'ah, hatred, that from that mountain there came down hatred to the world, that the second God told us that we're to be his chosen people and behave in a certain way, the rest of the nations started hating us. And every nation that gained stature in the world, and any person that moved forward in the world, has placed one of his main goals to destroy the Jewish people. And the first group are those that try to do it by force. And the second group, the Rambam said, are those that try to fight us philosophically. And now the Rambam says, Achalken nitchatsha kat acheret, we're holding in Rav Shilat's edition, page Kufchat. Afterwards, a new group came forth, that made their fight with the Jewish people composite of these two tactics, meaning they put together their force with their philosophical arguments. And they recognize that this is the more powerful way to try and wipe out this nation and their theology. And they came to the conclusion that they'd take the glory that they have prophecy, that's their claim, and they're going to give a series of laws, a Torah other than God's Torah, and they'll claim that this is God's Torah. There's a new treaty, there's a new testament, and they'll claim that this is truthful, just as the ancient Torah is truthful. Utchadesh safek umvucha, and in doing so, they're going to introduce doubt, kizot choleket al zot, and they'll show that as though God gave a new Torah, and now you have two Torahs. There's contradiction. Ushtem yuchasot leilechad, and both of them are attributed to one God. V'yem avod liibod zo v'zo, and in contradicting our Torah, by introducing a new Torah, they're going to, hopefully, their goal was that the contradiction will cause both to fall. Meaning they weren't interested in their laws being accepted, but rather their primary interest was that our Torah won't last. So even if their Torah won't last, if they both fall, that's good. And this is an amazing plot that someone who is very evil would do, that the first thing a person tries to do is get rid of his enemy but maintain himself. When he sees he can't do it, then he says, at least I should kill him even if I have to kill myself in doing so. So that, says the Rambam, that's very evil, but people sometimes reach that point, and that's where this third tactic was headed. Utchilat mi shematza zadat haya Yeshu ha-Notzri, and the first one who began with this approach was Yeshu. Shchuk atzamot, may his bones be ground. Vehu mi Yisrael, and he himself was a Jew. Sh'aval pi shaya aviv goy v'imo Yisraelit, even though his father was not Jewish, his mother was. Ha'ikal bi'adenu, and we have a tradition, goy v'eved abal bat Yisrael avlat kasher, that if a non-Jew or a slave lives with a Jewish girl, then the child is a kosher child. Ve'ulam nikreu mamzer, and the fact that we call him a mamzer, lafliq v'cherpato, is just a way of exaggerating his shame. The Rambam begins by telling us the first person who began with this tactic was Yeshu, and Yeshu was a Jew, even though we call him a mamzer. And he caused caused people to think that he was a messenger from God. Level svekot haTorah, he caused people to think that he's been sent to clarify the doubts, the questions that we have in the Torah. V'shehu haMashiach hayaud lanu al yedei kol navi, and he caused people to think that he is the Messiah that all the prophets spoke about. Uferesh haTorah perush mevi levitul kol haTorah b'chol mitzvoteh. And he gave interpretation to the Torah that would ultimately undo all of the Torah and all of its mitzvos. Vater kol azarotah. And in truth, he was coming to undo all the warnings that the Torah warns us. Lefi ma shekiven. And that was really what he intended to do. So he said, I'm coming to clarify things. I'm coming to answer all of your questions. But in truth, the theology that he was purporting was really going to undo all of the Torah, which is what history has proven out. I was once sitting in an airport, and a guy comes and sits next to me here in Israel, and he starts talking to me about religion. So I didn't know who he was. Turns out he was a missionary. So he started asking me questions. Why are you guys put on tefillin? So I said, look, if you want to argue, fine. But you might walk out of this confused. So if you want to, it's your choice. So he said, no, I'm curious. I want to understand. So I said, okay, if you want to understand, did you ever read the Bible in its original text in Hebrew? So he said, no. So I said, okay, so then you don't begin to understand. What do you want? So he said, what do you mean I don't begin to understand? I said, okay, we'll go question by question. I said, why do you guys put on tefillin? I said, because it says so in the Bible. So he says, where? So I said, okay, open up the Old Testament. I gave him the place. So he opens it up and he says, oh. This was a priest. He wasn't just a missionary. He himself was a priest. He said, what do you do with the verse in Bereishis that discusses Jesus? So I said, it doesn't exist. So he said, what do you mean it doesn't exist? It says in Genesis such and such and such. So I said, okay, I'll open the original text. I'll translate word by word. And it doesn't say anything about Jesus. It doesn't exist. It's just not there. So the guy turned all red. And he said, you know, you're right. I don't know what it says in the Bible. I don't know. I really have to learn the original language and understand it. And then we'll see. One of the things that moved Christianity forward was their translations of the Bible. Because within their translations, they included all kinds of misinterpretations. But now when someone opens the Bible, they think that Jesus is mentioned in Genesis. They don't know that there's no mention of him. So this person is a priest and a missionary, and he's coming to argue with me, and he doesn't know what it does and does not say in the Bible. Doesn't know. So the Rambam is telling us that by coming and saying, I will explain, I will clarify, in truth, he was undoing everything.
Doesn't the same hold true a little bit for the Talmud? We know that certain printings of the Talmud was printed by Christians, by the exegesis of the Pope. The Pope said you can print. And then he says, now you can't print. And now not only can't you print, but we're going to burn it too. And then they printed, and they didn't print Avodah Zarah.
So it's true that they also censored a lot of our works. Rashi censored, and the Gemara censored. Yeah, but that's not as bad as changing the text. V'irgishu chachamim zal lechavanato kodem sheitchazek pirsumo ba'umah. And our sages saw through his words, and they were able to see that this was his intent before he became famous. V'asu bo ha'ra'ui lo. And that's why they did to him what needed to be done. Notice the Rambam doesn't say what they did. And God already forewarned us through Daniel, the Amar. God told us, "Ki yishtadel ish miparitzei Yisrael v'chofreim lehafsid haTorah bitparo banvuah." And Daniel, God told us that there will be a Jew who is really a derelict, person who's paritzei Yisrael, those scoundrels who are immodest, who are heretics, and one of these Jews will arise and try to do away with the Torah and claim to have prophecy. Ve'achnis atzmo binyanim gdolim, and he'll be willing to enter grave areas of the Torah. Yomar shehu Mashiach, he'll claim that he is the Messiah. Ve'shashem yachshileu kmo sheyachshil, and God will ultimately cause him to stumble as God did. As the prophet says, "Uvnei paritzei amchai nasu leamid chazon v'nichshalu." From the paritzim, I don't know what the best translation for parutz. Parutz means breached, but here it means breached morally. From those that are not morally sound among the nation, they'll try to establish a vision, and they will stumble. Yeah. The Rambam explains Daniel that way, yeah. The Rambam's learning that Daniel spoke about Jesus. What? Could be, it doesn't say. One of the things about Daniel is that we don't know what he's talking about. So when you don't know what he's talking about, you can say a lot of things. V'acharav bizman gadol yatsa Torah mibnei Esav v'yichasu elav. And a long while after Yeshu, a religion came forth from the offsprings of Esav, and they attributed that religion to him. When in truth that wasn't his intent that he was hoping for. And his actions in his time didn't really harm the Jewish people. And none really doubted. None really thought that he was the Messiah. Ki hitba'er lehem stirat dvarav, for it was clarified in his day that his words were really unfounded. V'hinatzcho v'noflo b'yadeinu, and the fact that he was overcome and he fell in our hands, ad shaya sofo mashaya, till in the end, his end was what it was. So the Rambam is saying that in his time, in Yeshu's time, no one thought he was the Mashiach. Everyone saw, hey, he's dead, okay, it's over. So the Rambam is saying there wasn't even in an individual who was going with his teaching and who was convinced of his way. But later on, the religion that evolved was attributed to him. But the Rambam saying historically in his time, it wasn't so. It wasn't thought that way. Afterwards, the insane one took a stance. And this was a common nickname that they gave to Muhammad. Halach bedarko, he too went in Yeshu's way. Shehu patach lo haderech, because after Yeshu opened the path for others to follow in this way. Vosif alav kavana acheret, v'hi bakashat hamlucha, and he did one better than Yeshu. He seeked out the throne. V'sheavdu bnei adam, he wanted people to serve him. And he introduced the what's been famous, what we know he's introduced. And all of them, what they seek to do is to make their religion like God's teaching, like the Torah. And human work is cannot be viewed as similar to godly work unless one is foolish. If you look at a man-made religion and you want to compare it to God, what God told us to do, and you want to say, oh, this is, yeah, they're similar, what's the difference? Yeah, if you think they're similar, then you're just foolish, says the Rambam. She'en lo b'china b'shtehem. It's only because you don't understand and discern what both of them really are. And the difference between our Torah and the Torahs that try to compare themselves to the Torah, it's like comparing between a live person who's talking, who's active, he's alive, and the statue that you can make out of marble, out of wood, out of silver, out of gold. Yeah, it looks like a man, but no one's going to say, yeah, they're similar. That's like a human. It's not like a human, that's a statue. If you don't begin to understand what a human is, so then you could say, yeah, a human is similar to a statue. But the statue is just a picture that has a certain similarity to the human, but no one's going to say, I can't tell the difference between the statue and the person. They're so similar. Who could tell? What do you mean? That's a human, that's a statue. She'asachan b'chokhma ha'elokit u'vamlacha elyonit, someone who's foolish when it comes to godly wisdom and heavenly work, when he looks at a statue that's similar to man on all surfaces, its size, in the shape of its limbs, and its measurements, and the way it looks, he'll think, well, they're the same. What's the difference? You see a man lying down sleeping, you see a statue lying down next to him, so you could think, well, they're both the same. That stems from foolishness, from lack of understanding as to what's within each one. You could go into a wax museum and you see a statue that looks identical to a person. There was a guy who went to the British Museum of Wax. So I think that's the best in the world, but I'm not sure. When I was a kid, that was considered the best, the British Wax Museum. So a man's wife, they lose one another in the museum, and he's looking, he can't find his wife. So he turns to one of the guards and he says, excuse me, officer, have you seen my wife? And the guard doesn't answer him, and he puts his hand on the guy's shoulder, and then he realizes it's a wax statue. The man was standing there. So strictly, he thought it was an officer. So he says, wow, that's amazing. So he goes, he finds his wife, and he says, honey, I want to show you something. He walks over to the guard, and he says, listen here, you fool, buddy, I'm telling you. And then the guard smiles at him for a second and says, sir, what do you want? His wife says, yeah, what did you want? So this is a true story. I heard it from the guy himself. So yeah, on the surface, if we don't know what's within, sometimes we could confuse a wax statue and a human. But that's when we don't understand what's functioning from within. When one can look, says the Rambam, at any of these man-made inventions, these man-made theologies, and compare them with the Torah and say they're similar, that's only because he doesn't understand the depths of both. He doesn't understand what's within both. But a smart person who knows what's within both of them, he will know that what's within a figurine, so that hasn't been perfected. That doesn't require any work. It's just the inside of a statue. And what's within mankind is really amazing. And if you know, says the Rambam, the biological processes that go within a human body, so the wisdom of how a human body is made, and the Rambam isn't talking about the neshama yet, the Rambam is just talking about the biology of mankind, that itself attests to the wisdom of the Creator. From the way a person's nerves go through his muscles and extend, and the way God made it that the tendons can expand and contract and connect, and how God made the intertwining of the different fats, the different parts within, how we grow, v'arkavat atzamav ufirkehim, and the way our bones are attached, and the way our joints work, v'tziat gidav, and the way the sinews go within the muscles and the bones, dofkim uvilti dofkim v'itchalkam, the pulses, and the way the whole body is separated, and the way God made different limbs. I don't know, I'm translating very loosely. The translation I'm giving isn't exact, but I'm not sure it's so important. We get the point of what the Rambam is saying. Gluihem and Nistrihem, kol echad mehem. I'm saying this section about medicine that the Rambam's expanding how marvelous the human body is. We get the point. My translation isn't accurate. Kol echad mehem b'shiuro tchunato v'inkomo v'cha'ra'uy lo. Ken asachal b'sodot sifrei nevuah v'tochot toratenu. Similarly, one who doesn't have understanding when it comes to the secrets of the prophecies, the depths of the Torah, she'aroch zot haTorah laTorah b'duya, when he wants to evaluate our Torah in comparison with one that's been invented by mankind, yachshov shebeneim dimyon, he'll think there's similarity between the two. She'imtza b'Torah Hashem asurot u'mutorot, when all he sees is that in the Torah there are certain things that are forbidden and certain things that are permissible, uva'acheret gam ken asurot u'mutorot, and in the other theology, he'll say, well, they also say certain things are permitted and forbidden. And in the Torah, there are certain actions that we do in service of Hashem, and in the other theology, there are also actions that are in service of God. And in the Torah, we have commandments and warnings and promises of good and bad, what will happen in the future. And so to this other theology, commands and warns and promises good and bad. And if in truth one were to understand what's within both of them, he would know that the Torah that's godly, that's true, all of its wisdom that's within it, he would know. And he'd recognize that there's no positive commandment nor any prohibition that lacks the depth to bring a person to completeness. The mitzvos in the Torah are supposed to bring a person to being a whole person. We've discussed this concept many times, and this is the source, the Rambam here in Igeret Teiman. This is the first source that I know of where it's spelled out. We could say this is a basic tenet of Jewish faith, but this is the first place that I know of that it's spelled out, that the Torah is... the mitzvos bring a person to wholeness in this world, in humanity. The umachikim nezek moneh min hashlemut ahu, and the mitzvos will distance from us the harm that would prevent us from being whole people. Ve'yaknu malot midot umalot tzichliot, and in following the way of the Torah, then one acquires the elevated traits and elevated understanding, להמון כפי שכלם ולסגולות כפי השגתם. ובהם יהיה הקיבוץ האלוקי חשוב ומעולה. And through the Torah, when we have gathering, going in the way of Hashem, so then it's good, מגיע לשתי השלמות יחד. רצוני לומר, השלמות הראשונה אשר היא המשך מציאותו בעולם על טוב שבעניינים הנותנים לאדם. The first thing that one attains, we attain two forms of wholeness. One is that one continues to live in this world in the best possible way. And the second one is that's a true understanding of philosophical concepts. Now, the Rambam just gave us a very important attitude when it comes to the Torah. The Rambam said that the Torah is giving us, in following the ways of the Torah, one is acquiring a wholeness in this world and a wholeness in his understanding of the world. Very often when people approach the Torah, they think, good, the Torah is telling me how to behave and I'll merit to get Olam Haba. I'll be a good person and I'll get reward. And the Rambam is stressing that if we're following the Torah, then the way we're living in this world is the best possible way to live. A person closes his shop on Shabbos, so he feels like, yeah, I'll get in the world to come, I'll get for it. But in this world, I'm losing out profit. My competitors are open on Shabbos. The store across the street is open on Shabbos. He's making more money. He has it better in this world. It's only in the next world where I'll get it. And the Rambam is telling us that that's a mistaken attitude. That the Torah was teaching us the best possible way to live in this world for this world as well. In our mind, we might view things and say, well, if I didn't have to keep Shabbos now, I'd make more money. Maybe. But who said that would be a better way to live in this world? We don't know. What we do know is that when God gave us the Torah, God said, I created this world. I made this world with laws of nature. I know how the world works. And before I made the world, I made a guidebook, a plan book, which is called the Torah. And the Torah was the blueprint off of which I created the world. So if you've gone the way of the Torah, then you're living the best possible way to live in this world, for this world. We're not talking about the world to come. The world to come, yeah, okay. We'll get what we have to get in the world to come. But aside from the world to come, the Rambam says, first, the first form of wholeness that a person attains when one goes in the way of the Torah is his way of living in this world. And the second wholeness is that a person understands. His perception of the world is correct. And the other theologies that try to compare, inyanim en tochlahim, really their depth is lacking. Rak chikui levad, they're just an imitation. V'dimui v'emshel, and they're just something similar. They're something comparable. Kiven ba'midame lagdil atzmo. The one who imagined, who thought these up, wanted to uplift himself, to make himself great. And he thought that this will cause people to think that he's like certain people. And those who understand recognize this person's shame. And really his due pay which he got is that he is mocked. Just like people go to a zoo and they laugh and when they see a monkey behave like a human, you see a monkey sitting and peeling a banana, everyone looks and says, wow. By the same token, says the Rambam, when we read these other theologies and they have things that are similar to the Torah, we look at them like a monkey peeling a banana. That's the extent of it. Yeah. Think that what the Rambam tells us, he got from Chazal a lot of it. This point, I think in the Midrashim we might have places that support it. As I was saying it, I had thought of a source for it. One second. Right now I can't think of a source in the Midrash or in Chazal, but it could be that the...
This concept was greatly introduced with this letter.
This is the first place that I know of that it's spelled out. But we'd have to do more research. We have to look it up. וכבר קדמה לנו גם כן הודעה מהשם יתעלה על יד דניאל. If you guys want, we can turn on the air conditioner. I don't know. וכבר קדמה לנו גם כן ההודעה מהשם יתעלה על יד דניאל כי כן יהיה. And we were already notified by God through Daniel that this was what would be. ושבאחרית העניין יעמוד עומד ייתן דת דומה לדת האמיתית. That ultimately one would arise and invent a theology that is similar to the true religion, וידבר גדולות, and he'll speak great things. כלומר, יומר שניתן לו ספר, meaning he'll claim that he was given a book, ודיבר השם אליו, and he'll claim that God spoke to him, והוא דיבר על השם, that he spoke to God. וזולת זה מרוב דבריו, and other things from the stuff that he's said. אמר דניאל כשסיפר ותיאר עמוד מלכות רומי, Daniel said when he described the rise of the Roman Empire, והמשיל עמידת המשוגע, and he gave an allegory about the rise of the insane one, ויותו מנצח מלכות רומי, מלכות פרס ומלכות יוון, and when Daniel described that he would ultimately defeat the kingdom, the Roman Empire and the Persian and Greek Empire, בקרן שעלתה צומחת, he described it as a horn that grows, והלכה ועצמה, and as it lengthens itself and gets more powerful, כמו שהתבר מן הכתוב הוא להמון ולסגולה, as has been clarified from that verse to the masses, שהם עניינים גילתה אותם המציאות, that these things, the history has borne out, לא יסבלו פירוש אחר, you can't really explain it any other way. Notice that the Rambam himself is saying, I'm explaining Daniel this way, because history has borne out this understanding in Daniel. Rashi says in Daniel that we have a certain explanation in certain verses, and different explanations were offered and proven wrong. And each generation has to try and understand what Daniel was saying, and if their explanation is borne out, good. And if not, then we'll know they were mistaken, and we'll start again. So Rashi comes after Rav Sadia Gaon and tries to give an explanation, because Rav Sadia Gaon's explanation didn't work. So Rashi gives his own explanation, which also doesn't work. So now the Rambam gives his own explanation. So we have a work. We have Daniel, where the angel tells him, I'm going to tell you what's going to be in the future, and I'm going to tell you what the Jews will undergo and what's going to happen in the world and the kingdoms that arise in full. And you hide the words that I tell you. I want you to conceal it within the prophecy. Give a prophecy that's doubly sealed, that all the wise people will try to understand, and they won't. So Daniel did that. Amar, so Daniel said, Mistakalavet, I was viewing Bakarnaya at the horns of this animal, Va'alu keren achori, and behold, another horn arose on this animal, Ze'era, it was a smaller horn, Sirkat benihon, it came up among these other horns, Utlat mit karnaya kadmaya, ta'itaka min kadama. And three of the original horns were uprooted when this new little horn started growing. Valu, and behold, Ainin kaine anasha bekarnada. There were eyes like human eyes in this horn. Ufum memalil rivrevan, and it had a mouth that spoke great things. So Daniel describes how this horn grows. This little horn starts growing, and it uproots the other horns, and it grows and gets higher and higher and higher until it reaches the top of the heavens, till it reaches the old man sitting in heaven, which is the description of God. It says that Daniel saw this old man. His clothing is like white snow, and the hair on his head is like clean wool. He sees an old man dressed in white, and that's an allusion to God. And Daniel says that this horn reached all the way up to God. So, and the horn has many eyes, and it has a mouth that speaks great things. So the Rambam says, now you behold how exacting this allegory is, how amazing it is. He said, Daniel said he saw this little horn as it grows, as it gets longer, and it made the three horns that preceded it fall off. And this is amazing how it grew. The horn has two eyes like human eyes, and a mouth that speaks great things. What the verse means to say, the great things that this horn says is that it will try to give a theology that is similar to God's religion. And they'll claim having prophecy, and they'll say many things. And Daniel explained to us that he will try to glorify himself with undoing the Torah and trying to change it. Amar, that's what Daniel said, and he'll think to change the times and the religion. And God explained to Daniel that God will ultimately wipe out this way, only after this way has gained strength and gained great greatness. In kol mi shenisham min hakodmim lo, together with all its predecessors, v'sheilu acholkim shloshtam, and that these three that contend with God's religion, ratzoni lomar hakata machachat pacherem, and the Rambam wants to say that what are the three horns? They represent the three different groups that have tried to bring us down. Both the group that tried to do it with the sword, v'amitpelt batanot, and the one that tries to overcome us with claims, with philosophical arguments, v'amitama badat, and the one that tries to do it by inventing its own religion, kulam yovdu, says the Rambam. Ultimately, they'll all be lost. V'afal pi sh'tereh lehem gdula v'tikbot zman aroch o katzar, even though you see them attain greatness for a lengthy time or a short time, lo etmid lehem hadavar hu v'lo yishaer. It won't last, it won't have a lasting effect. So what have we seen today in the Rambam? You know what, we'll do one more. We have another two more sentences to finish this. V'cheni nig Hashem imanu me'az, and so this is the way Hashem guided us from way back when. En zman shelo yitchadesh bo shma dvaro, says the Rambam, there is no time in Jewish history when there isn't a new form of decrees against us. No such thing. If you look for any point in history, there's going to be decrees against the Jewish people. There will be shmad. There will be decrees that threaten our lives if we don't leave our religion. And after a time, God removes that decree, and then there's a new decree. And so there's a decree in this part of the world, or in that part of the world. Our history is replete with decrees against the Jewish people. And this is the way it was, the Rambam says, ever since the Torah was given. Amar David Melech, he said, Baruch HaKosh B'lshon HaUmah. David, the king of Israel, said with a godly spirit, he said, representing the nation, in telling over how the nations have tried to overcome us from our very beginning. And they are unsuccessful in wiping us out in spite of the tremendous amount of decrees against us. Amal, that's what King David said. From the time I was a youngster, King David says, speaking in the name of the Jewish people, there have been many, many attempts to afflict me, and they have been unsuccessful. So what do we see today in the Rambam? We saw that the Rambam began by discussing that there's a third group that combines the forces of the first two. They try to overcome us with not theological and not the sword, but rather coming with a new religion, claiming that God sent a new Torah, and their intent is really to try and bring down both Torahs. Their intent isn't really that their way will be accepted, but it's like a guy who realizes he can't take the other one down, so he says, okay, I'll ensure that we both fall. And when one walks in and claims that God sent a Torah, and that Torah contradicts the Torah that we have, so then that's going to cause people to doubt and think, well, wait a second, if God said this and God said that, and they contradict, so it's all ridiculous, and a person will leave it all. So that was their goal. And the Rambam says that Yeshu initially wasn't accepted. It was only later on that our religion evolved that was attributed to him. But in his lifetime and after his death, everyone recognized that he wasn't Mashiach. And afterwards, the one who followed suit was Muhammad. And the Rambam said that anyone who thinks that the Torah is similar to these religions, it's only because he doesn't understand what's the truth and the depth of the Torah, and doesn't understand what the truth and depth of those religions is. That the Torah gives us the best possible way to live in this world and the clearest understanding of the truths, the philosophical truths in this world. And anyone who thinks he can compare the Torah with these other theologies is like a person who sees a comparison between a statue and a human and thinks they're the same. And the Rambam said that when we look at these other theologies, so we're supposed to recognize their lackings and view them as one would view a monkey that's behaving like a human. That you view it and you say it's amusing. Yeah, he's trying, but he's nowhere near it. He's not a human. It's just amusing. By the same token, we're supposed to recognize how they don't come close in their understanding of the world or in their guidance to live a whole life in this world. We said that this is a very important philosophical concept that the Rambam is teaching us, that the Torah isn't something that's just for the world to come. The Torah is the best possible way to live in this world for this world as well. And the Rambam said that Daniel had foretold us that this would happen, and the Rambam explained how within Daniel's prophecy is included this concept that there would rise a person or people who would claim that God sent a new religion to the world. Yeah? Okay.